Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of Unwitness radio broadcast. And in yesterday's reading from my book, The Blood and the Glory, we learned that God had made man, created man to have dominion. He stepped to the center stage of the whole of creation and announced, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." We went into detail how an angel, we know it was an angel because Hebrews tells us it was, an angel asked a question when he heard that God was creating man. What is a man? What is a man that you're mindful of him, that you have him in your mind? The Son of Man, that you visit him. Angels had to call on God. Here's one that God visits. You've made him just a little lower than Elohim, just a little lower than the Godhead. You've put man between the Godhead and angels. And wonder of wonders, you have crowned him. God crowned man. The angel was amazed. And then he said, the angel, you have crowned him, this is in Psalm 8, with glory. Glory and honor. The crown was made of glory, not of gold, not of diamonds. God paved streets with gold. It was made of the highest heavenly substance. It was made of the glory of God. The glory of God is God's presence manifested. The glory of God is God himself. God's glory sat upon man as his crown and clothed him as his clothing. It fitted him for the fellowship he enjoyed with his Creator. He was not naked. He was clothed with the glory of God. He was not naked until, you know what happened. Satan challenged God's word. If he knew that if he could keep God's word from coming to pass about man having dominion, he would defeat God. His tactics were simple. He tempted the will of man. Man yielded and turned his will crosswise to the will of God. Some, if not the saddest words in the Bible are, "And they heard the voice of Jehovah God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." This is Genesis 3:8. "And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And Jehovah God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He hadn't been naked before, but now he's naked. Early one Sunday morning, I was meditating on these things in preparation for the Sunday school class to teach it. I'd put on a roast for dinner, and I was fixing my hair in front of the wide mirror in our only bathroom before waking the family. From behind me, high and to the right, I heard a voice. It probably was not audible, but to me it seemed almost audible. When the question came, I knew it was the Lord. "Do you know Romans 3:23? My first thought was, "Thank God it's one I know." I grew up in Baptist churches. Baptists lead people to the Lord down the Roman road. Romans 3:23 is one of the first steps. So I whirled toward the voice and quoted rather glibly at first, "For all have sinned and come short of..." Ah! I gasped as I saw it. The last four words fell feebly from my lips, trailing almost to a whisper. "The glory of God. For man has sinned and come short of the glory of God." The voice spoke the revelation I'd glimpsed. That's what happened in the fall. I crowned man with glory. Man sinned and fell short of the glory. I felt I would faint with the revelation of the fall from such glorious heights to such heinous depths. Then the voice literally revived me with words based on Hebrews 2:10, "But the captain of your salvation is bringing many sons to glory." It was like I could have fainted there in the bathroom. And these words came like a ticker tape and went into my spirit and strengthened me. "But the captain of your salvation is bringing many sons to glory." I saw it for the first time, the circle of glory. Man was crowned with glory. He fell from the glory. Through Jesus Christ, he can return to the glory. Then in a flash of revelation across my spirit, I saw the predicament of the fall. To the right, high and lifted up, was the place of the throne of God. To the left, low and very low, stood Satan with man cringing at his side. Between the two places, there was a great gulf fixed. I heard these words from the Lord. You always look at the fall from man's viewpoint. I want you to look at it from my point of view. Within my spirit, an automatic response arose. I will be happy to, if you are pleased, to show it to me. The reaction of a natural man, the voice went on, to a fallen son is to grab him and clasp him to his bosom. Had I clasped Adam to my bosom, I would have consumed him. My glory would have burned him up. And in him, all of mankind, Satan would have stopped my words from coming to pass. For I had spoken that man would have dominion over the works of my hands. Then I saw my first son, Terry. He stood tall, broad-shouldered, and thin at the waist, with a large silver buckle fastening the leather belt around his blue jeans. Terry was a bull rider, and that was his belt he had won, his buckle. I felt an urge to throw my arms right around his middle in a tight squeeze. Then I heard the voice, "What if you could not hug your son? For if you hugged him, you would consume him. I'm a hugging mother, so the Holy Spirit taught me with a hugging mother parable. He teaches Brother Copeland with airplane parables, but he deals with each of us differently. Back then, when I hugged Terry, he would sometimes say, "Aw, Mom." But he liked it, and so did I. I couldn't imagine not being able to hug him. In fact, I quickly considered how I probably would forget and he would be destroyed. I somehow felt a little of God's position at the fall of man. And in a new way, I understood how sin cannot stand in the presence of God. It is written, "For our God is a consuming fire." Hebrews 12:29. What does he consume? Sin. I understood the precautions of the Old Testament. God's glory stood behind a thick curtain in the Holy of Holies. The high priest alone could enter there once a year on the Day of Atonement, and then he took great precautions. It wasn't that God did not want mankind in his presence. It was that man could not endure the glory of God. I thought of when David brought up the Ark of the Presence on a cart rather than in the way God had instructed them to carry it for their own safety. When the oxen stumbled, Uzzah reached out to steady the Ark, and he died. It wasn't that God was just waiting to get him. God's glory broke forth to judge sin when the two came into contact. You can read this in 2 Samuel 6 or 1 Chronicles 13. Again, I saw the scene with Satan clasping the cowering man and laughing up at God across the gulf. He thought he'd won. He thought he'd succeeded in separating God and his man forever. Satan knew that Adam, who once delighted in the presence of God, would now be consumed by it. His whining words ran together as he sneered over and over at God. "What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now?" I was made to know that God did not answer him. I also knew that God had a plan which began in heaven before the foundation of the world. God did not need to do anything now. He had already done it. The mystery of the church, or the ecclesia, the body of Christ. The New Testament calls God's plans mysteries. The Companion Bible says, the English word mystery is a transliteration of the Greek word mysterion, which means a sacred secret, something concealed that can be revealed. Some of the mysteries of the New Testament that it speaks about are the mystery of Israel, Romans chapter 11, the mystery of iniquity, 2 Thessalonians 2. And the mystery of the church, there are numerous references. It calls it that, the mystery of the church. God concealed his plan for the church throughout the Old Testament. Prophets prophesied about it while they wondered of what and of whom they were speaking. Even the gospel writers did not grasp the meaning of the mystery. It was not until a man named Paul came along that God revealed what he had concealed, the mystery of the church. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, refers to it as, quote, the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Romans 6:16-25. And in Ephesians 3:9, he refers to it as the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. What a hiding place! It seemed to me that as I saw this vision, there was a door in the midst of God marked top secret. When I saw the following passage, I saw where the mystery led. 1 Corinthians 6:2-7. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. When did he ordain the plan? Before the world. For what purpose? Unto our glory. Hallelujah. Consider how strong this verse is in the Amplified Bible. But, quote, but rather what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God, once hidden and now revealed to us by God. That wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification, that is, to lift us into the glory of his presence. Man fell from the glory, but there's a plan to lift us back into the glory of his presence, and that's the place of the church. Now let's go back to the King James and pick up at verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The Father of glory sent the Lord of glory to lift up the man who had been crowned with the glory but had fallen from the glory, to lift him up back into the glory of his presence. I came to call the Bible the story of the glory. If Satan had seen the plan, he would never have lifted God's spotless lamb to the altar of the cross. We'll begin here again tomorrow, and you must be with you. Please be with us as we continue reading. You can contact us at billybrim.org or 1-800-972-3447 and get our teachings on The Blood and the Glory, a book, tapes. Therefore, this day, Shalom.